a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
George only had one other runner reach scoring position. Jordan sends one to center. Barshow, the new center fielder, all the way back at the wall. He'll leap up. It is gone. Home run. Jordan Alvarez goes the other way over the left center field wall. And there are the insurance runs for the Astros. It's now 3-0.
It was a little dicey for a moment. You weren't 100% sure if Rafael Montero was going to be able to get you through the seventh inning. He did. Somehow, some way. And the Astros bullpen, not exactly inspiring the most confidence. We had an appearance by Brian, I'm praying for you. Get it? Ooh. Sounds like Brian Abreu.
That's good.
Brian, I'm praying for you. Josh Hader has allowed all of the Astros runs, all of the runs against the Astros by the Blue Jays this year. He allowed a home run in the ninth inning. But they did enough, and Hunter Brown did more than enough, getting the Astros through six innings despite a couple of clunky early innings. He really seems to be settling in. And, I mean, my God, the numbers over the past five starts, that was 0.29 ERA. The numbers over the past 2 months, incredible. He should be the American League Pitcher of the Month for June. Yesterday obviously took place on July 1st. But I can't believe what I'm seeing. And there's a part of me, Joe, that feels the need to pinch myself because I'm loving this. It just feels hard to believe that a stretch against teams like the Angels and the White Sox and the Rockies and the Blue Jays is going to continue.
I think that's totally justified why the start of the season, what last year was. I understand why you're not totally there yet. There's no reason to believe he's this guy for the foreseeable future. What does it take, Paul? I'm curious. Like another...
Do this against teams with an offense.
Yeah.
I would say that stretch where the end of July they play the Mariners and the Dodgers, six of the first nine games back from the All-Star break, and then they play all of those teams that they're in wild card contention against, win games and pitch dominantly in those games. Okay, maybe I'll buy into it. But this stretch is so damn good. It's unbelievable to me, even though it is very clearly happening, and he has definitely found something with this two-seam fastball.
Yeah, man, his next two starts are right now projected to be against the Twins and the Rangers. So, well, the Rangers obviously not having a great year this year. It's still a lot of good pieces on offense. The Twins' offense is good, and the Blue Jays' offense is good, too. Now, Vlad Guerrero Jr. have been one of the best hitters in baseball, if not really the best hitter in baseball very recently. Was obviously not in the lineup yesterday, but he got it done. And that's what matters right now is build on this, is that when you play the Twins, who are a playoff team right now to what you're saying, Paul, to show them that you are, that this is for real. You know, when you're facing Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa and those guys, beat someone good. Because I am with you that the reservation with this stretch is overall the quality of opponent is pretty poor.
Right. It's not me saying that this is completely phony. I mean, you don't put numbers up against major league hitting like that if you're not doing something right. But just keep in mind, the teams that this 0.29 ERA stretch happened against, in order, it's been teams like the Angels, Tigers, White Sox, Rockies, and Blue Jays. All of those teams are below 500. So just keep it in mind. But love what we're seeing. Hopefully it continues, whether it's due to Alex Bregman saying, hey, throw that two-seam fastball, or Ryan Presley giving him a pat on the head after that awful performance against the Royals. It's been a lot better.
The lineup was terrible yesterday, though. We didn't really hit on that at all.
Yeah, I mean, they had
four hits.
But you did get a Jordan, and you did get a Jeremy Pena home run. But you're right. I mean, that guy, what's-his-face, had his best career start.
Yeah, and because he had never gotten out of the fifth.
Oh, boy.
In his career. And he got 6.2 innings pitched
yesterday. I'm going to blame the delayed start time due to it being Canada Day, which is a fraudulent holiday. We're going to talk about that at 1:15. So the USM NT. The
you got there. National you got team. There.
The disappointing soccer team that's not as good as the women lost to Uruguay. And I see some of the soccer savants are saying, well, Uruguay is really good. I don't care. We're the United States of America. What is, how many people live in Uruguay? 20? I don't know. I'm exaggerating a little bit. 25. But you lost. After all the hype going into this, everyone talking about how good Pulisic is and how good the team is and all the starters and how Greg Berhalter isn't that much of a problem. Guess what? The exact same bleeping bleep happened again. So it got Joe thinking, who are the American professional sports equivalent in the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball of the U.S. men's team?
Yeah, so you have to be a lot of hype, no success.
Is it a lot of hype?
I think there's a lot of hype for Team USA. Maybe it's because the big tournaments are really every 2 years.
It feels like it's a hipster hype. Because, again, there's a lot of people that just don't buy into soccer. And it largely has to do with the fact that they don't win.
Sorry. There's a lot of people like me who this is the only time they watch. I only watch during when there's a big game that everyone's talking about or the Olympics or the World Cup. I'm not watching friendly Team USA games. I'm just not. So that's part of the reason why I think there's hype around it. So there's – in the community, there's great expectations for Team USA that they failed to live up to over and over again. The first team I thought of was the New York Jets. It is a team that has not made the playoffs in 13 years. Mm. It is the longest stretch in the NFL for a team to not make the playoffs or not have a playoff win, whatever one it is. They are hyped up all the time, whether it's Mark Sanchez, Sam Darnold, now it's Aaron Rodgers. They always have the next quarterback. They've always got a great coach who fails. And it's the market that they're in. People pump up the New York Jets in a way that they're not good. Like, in my lifetime, the Jets have been an awful football team, and they keep taking these first-round quarterbacks or acquiring quarterbacks, and, like, Chad Pennington was the best quarterback of my lifetime for the Jets.
Sanchez had a couple of good years, but it wasn't Sanchez that got them as far as they got, which was to the AFC Championship. I think they got to it 2 years in a row. Maybe it was just 1 year.
It was 2 years in a row.
In the Rex Ryan era. But you're right. I don't know that the Jets is fair because the Jets are always such a mess off the field and seem to make the worst possible decisions all the time. I don't know if the U.S. is quite that.
They're not that messy.
Yeah. I saw someone compare the U.S. men's team to the Dallas Cowboys, but that's also unfair to the Cowboys because the Cowboys have actually won. I think what we're talking about here is someone who hasn't won in a really long time that is completely impotent offensively. I'm, of course, talking about Joe Chicago Bears.
I knew that's where you were going to go with this.
Because it feels It feels like the only way that the U.S. wins a game is through defense.
They put them on national television all the time when no one wants to watch the Bears.
Like the best,
they force them out there in front of you.
Was it like the best U.S. performance in a World Cup stage of late when Tim Howard had like 30 saves against Belgium?
Probably.
Back in 2014 or whenever the hell that was?
Yeah, that might have been 18. I forgot.
It was a while ago.
But yeah, it was a crazy. They should have lost by 7. And instead, they lost by 1 or 2.
Pretty much.
I mean, no, Team USA's never been to a championship game and lost. At least the Bears got there.
Not in my lifetime, doesn't count.
Yes, they did.
It doesn't count.
2006 wasn't in
your lifetime? 2006.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Sexy Rexy.
Forgot about that because it was such a forgettable Super Bowl.
That's your quarterback, Paul.
No.
You weren't a Rex Grossman guy at Florida?
At Florida, yeah. But then I watched him with the Bears, and I was like, oh, boy.
It doesn't translate to the NFL?
May as well run the Thomas Jones cat or the Anthony Thomas cat at that moment in time. Okay, so that's our NFL equivalents. Baseball.
Baseball's hard because I like where you're going with the offense. I don't want to just pick on the New York teams, but I was kind of thinking the Mets as well. Because similar, there's always a lot of hype. They make some splashy moves. People are excited about the New York Mets like they were last year. And then by the middle point of the season, they're trading Scherzer and Verlander. And it just doesn't work out. And they've gone through different managers, and the blame game is always there. They popped up in my mind. The other one was the Angels. Because they have had real star power between Trout and Ohtani and literally have accomplished nothing. Ohtani still has yet to play in a playoff game in his big league career because he never did it with the Angels, and Trout's played in three total. So I kind of lean the Angels are the men's national soccer team equivalent in baseball.
Okay. I'm going to go with insert middle America team that's never won anything. So we're talking about teams like the Reds, the Pirates. I just don't take them seriously. I don't feel like they're ever going to do all that is necessary to win. I feel like as soon as they get close to winning that they'll do something to strip the thing down and go back to square one. NBA equivalent of the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah, I don't. Who gets the most hype in the NBA and then fails to live up to expectations? The Clippers?
Of late, yes. Especially if you remove the Clippers' clown car history.
Yeah, you have to think back to when they drafted Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, is the comp because it's too bad.
Recent Clippers.
Yeah, recent
Watch
Clippers.
Watch FX's Clipped. To get an idea of what's going on with the Clippers.
Is it any good?
No. It's fine. It's silly.
Okay.
I do want to watch it, especially if it's the FX series about O.J. Simpson.
It's a little bit worse of a version of that.
Ooh, I like it.
Okay. Yeah.
In.
Not worse. It's not terrible. It's just trashier. It's as you're watching, you're this is trashy TV that I'm watching. Yeah. So I think the Clippers, as far as also... they made one Western Conference Finals in their NBA history, and that was in 2021.
I'm going to go with the Knicks. Everyone always wants the Knicks to succeed. Everyone's always going to tell you the Knicks are on the cusp of succeeding. They never will. They never have. And everyone will put somebody on the Knicks, like Jalen Brunson, into a stratosphere that, let's be honest, he doesn't belong there.
Bill Simmons says he's the number six player in the NBA. It blows my mind every time he says it.
Look, Brunson's a great player.
Yeah.
There's no denying that. But my God, New York was acting like Jalen Brunson was as good as Luka Doncic last year. Shut your whore mouth.
And it's a little bit of whenever they get those little glimpses of success where they when they win a playoff series, because that's the success we're talking about.
Yes.
I always think God, could you imagine if they're actually good?
Yes.
could you imagine how annoying it would be if they were
very.
Even the Lakers, where they're consistently good. It's just oh my God.
And I think it's interesting, going through this, we've mentioned three cities. We comped U.S. men's national team to three cities. L.A., New York, Chicago. Because that's what the men's national team is. It's these big market cities that people tell us are so special and so great. And so often, their teams are losers.
Yeah, you really have no business losing as much as you do being in any of those cities. So three of the most desired to live in places for, I would say, the average young man who's looking to play sports. No matter, the politics side of things, I get it. Especially all three of those cities. Not great right now. But there is no reason that those three cities should struggle as much as they do in professional sports. And that's sort of what we've got with the U.S. men's team.
Yeah, because you have the Lakers, but it's the Clippers. You have the Angels. And it is kind of funny that it's mostly, besides the Knicks, because I do agree with them, it's the little brother of these teams. Mm-hmm. But it shows you how much hype is it can be bad for you. That's why, listen to the Alexi stuff, the Alexi Lawless clip from earlier. I'm surprised there's not more vitriol towards the coach, that people aren't really trying to push him out in the media. Because even the players' quotes I've seen are we still believe in them. Why?
Dell and I compare. Because we've just been comparing this to college football. Because it's very college football what's happening, and it's basically the players don't want to badmouth the coach just in case the coach doesn't get fired, because you can't really trust the federation to make good choices. So it's a little bit we don't want to fully just bury the coach. And it's not exactly like they have a Cristiano Ronaldo, where if Christian Pulisic gets out there and be like, yeah, this coach sucks. It's not like the Federation would be like, oh, let's fire the coach to make our star happy. But they'll just be like, okay, dude, whatever.
Didn't they bring him in to make him happy? Wasn't that sort of part of, or keep him around to make Pulisic happy?
No.
Okay.
It was because they wanted to. Right. It basically, if you're related to or were on the 1994 USA team, you have like kind of a job for life. And Berhalter's, I think, brother was on the team. Mm. And so he gets to do whatever he wants.
Nepotism.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's not like blatant nepotism, but it's a lot of like cronyism and just like, yeah, he's a good guy. Let's trust him. And there's not a lot of outside ideas coming in.
The U.S. lost yesterday, but we as a country did win. It was a small victory. I'll explain how we got it. Thanks to Hunter Brown. Next.
I want to tell you about my friends at LaBerge, Lake Charles, Sean, Brian, myself. We're there this weekend. Great time as always. 19 betting kiosks, the massive TV inside the sports book. There's smaller TVs throughout as well. And even look, you can ask for whatever you want while you're there. You can get great food. You can make bets. You can enjoy drinks. You can get some Crawford Bock while you're there. And if you're a soccer fan, the Euros were on. Copa America was on. So whenever the big events are on, it's a great place to go watch it. I can't wait to be out there for college football season, for the NFL. It's going to be such a great time. They said during the NFL, during the noon kick, when there's 8 or 9 games going on, every single game is on the big TV while you're there at the sportsbook. Easy to bet while you're there. Whether you use the kiosk, there's 19 of them. You can go up to the desk if you're old school as well. But you also have the ESPN Bet app as well. Make sure you download it when you're on your way to Louisiana. So that way, as soon as you cross the border, you can start making bets online and when you're there at LaBerge. When you leave Texas and want to bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at LaBerge Lake Charles.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So the best part of the Astros' victory over the Toronto Blue Jays yesterday was that it took place on Canada Day, which delayed the start of yesterday's bizarrely timed 2:06 first pitch, at least as scheduled, till I want to say 2:26. And sure, it's 20 minutes. But 20 minutes in America, Joe George, is a lot of time. Maybe in some small country overrun by pine trees and bears with some oil in their version of Texas, old Alberta. Maybe that's not that long. But in our country, it's a long, long time. And the United States shaming the Toronto Blue Jays, who were wearing the Canadian baseball national team uniforms yesterday, is a quantum of solace after the United States lost to Uruguay in soccer yesterday.
I'm just glad that the Houston Astros can defend America in the right way. They can defeat Canada on Canada Day, and they can defeat Canada on the 4th of July. Because they play on both days.
That's true. Now, we're going to have to defend the wall on the 4th of July. We can't have it being a United States men's national team tie, which is what they go for. They don't go for dubs like our beloved Houston Astros are.
It is Fromber, so, you know, he might have a meltdown on the 4th. Mm-hmm. You hope not.
Oh, no.
But, you know.
Be careful with your fireworks.
Yeah, don't set off any fireworks.
Don't Jason Pierre-Paul yourself.
Just don't.
Oh, I thought he would just get like skittish around the fireworks. Like,
oh, like a dog?
Yeah.
Need one of those little
easy to spook. Yeah.
Those little vests.
Don't make any loud noises around Fromber on days where he starts.
I mean, I'd rather him be more like Jason Pierre-Paul. When you get a ball on the infield, hold on to it. Just hold on to it forever. Don't let go.
Well, that implies that holding on to it. It implies holding on to it is going to result in the loss of his fingers. So
don't
at least
lose your
go
fingers.
Full Jim Palmer on it and make sure it's your glove hand.
Just don't let go. Don't throw the ball home. There should be a new rule for Fromber. If he feels a grounder and he can't underhand it to first base, eat it. Okay. Don't ever throw it again.
Don't eat the fireworks.
Don't even throw it overhanded to first.
Underhand.
I was going to say, no matter what the situation is, like, I do not care. just throw it to first.
Yeah.
Just throw it to first. Don't try to get any other. Don't try to turn a double play. Don't try to get it out at home. Nope. Throw it to first. Take her out.
Yep. Just eat it. Just either throw it to first
eat it.
Or just hold on to it.
just two hands on it like a running back.
By the way, Canada Day is one of the most fraudulent holidays ever, and it's a lot like how at Hanukkah, Jewish kids will receive Christmas presents because they see their Christian friends mm-hmm. getting Christmas presents. Legitimately, the reason that Canada celebrates Canada Day is because they have 4th of July envy. Because, really, in 1867, the British North America Act created the Dominion of Canada. It's just an administrative change per Canadian historians because they still recognize whoever is the monarch of England as their monarch. On top of that, Canadians used to talk bleep about Americans having 4th of July celebrations. Canadian newspapers in the 1870s, this is from an article I read, quote, took a perverse pleasure in reprinting stories about deaths and injuries during American 4th of July celebrations so that they could point out how peaceful and orderly Dominion Day observances were. That's right. It's called Dominion Day. They changed it to Canada Day in 1982. So this is a day where they recognize, yeah, England still rules us, and they've only recently started calling it Canada Day, and they only do it because they're jealous of the Americans having the 4th of July.
Interesting.
So they had to have this 2:38 first pitch against the Astros to celebrate this fake-ass holiday.
When did the Toronto Blue Jays come into existence? 1989. Okay. Oh, no, 1976. So the maybe it was the Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays are technically older than Canada based off of Canada Day not being Canada Day until 1982. By the way, you want to hear some more Canadian traditions?
Yes.
Okay, so before every single baseball game, Toronto Blue Jays fans play this. It is something. That's for sure.
Is this the one you post on social media?
Yes.
You got a diamond, you got nine men, you got a hat and a bat, and that's not all. You got the bleachers, got them from spring till fall. You got a dog and a drink and the umpire's call. What do you want?
Let's play ball.
Is that a fly ball? Is it a seagull?
It's like a Randy Newman version.
Coming in from the lake just to catch the game.
Of the Astros cocaine song.
Yeah. Our guys are winning.
They put down a smoker, a strike, and you got no doubt. Yeah.
What do you want?
Let's play ball.
You ready, Joe?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Blue Jays. Let's play ball. They play this at every game.
Did they really?
Hang on. At
the ballpark, the game starts.
Let's sing.
Warm summer breezes, sun's going down. It's all dark at the ballpark. That's okay.
It's okay.
It's a night game.
It's a night game.
Okay.
Blue Jays.
Okay.
Blue Jays.
Joe hates this song.
I just have so many questions.
Bring on the White Sox.
Why?
Bring on the Bo Sox.
Now they just missed every
Bo
game.
Sox.
Bring on the Brewers, the Rangers, and the Yankees, too. We'll beat the Indians.
Racist.
We'll beat the Tigers. We'll beat the A's so bad. Gonna make Billy Blue.
What do you want?
Let's play.
You don't mention the Astros?
This is before the American League.
Update the song.
Blue Jays.
Let's play ball.
There you go. Texas Tag on YouTube says we should chop and screw this.
Oh, yeah. I know a guy.
You know a guy?
I know a guy.
Okay.
Let's send it to Frank and see what he does with it. Frank's got a weird mind. He'll still do that for us.
It's a weird-ass song, man.
Well, why? They still play it every day? I thought this was something like they would stop playing.
They play this every single
before
game.
The game?
I don't know, but they play it every single game. Vanessa told me that every single time that she's been out there as Astros dugout reporter, that they go crazy over this song.
I feel like it makes more sense to play during the seventh inning stretch, like their version of Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Yeah, but I mean, they're saying let's play ball, so it has to be before the game.
That's true. And if you're losing by like five runs in the seventh, it probably doesn't have the same vibe.
I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
Look, Canada has some bangers. The Canadian National Anthem is a good song.
That's good. That's a good call.
And they have OK Blue Jays. And they have Celine Dion. Mm-hmm. And they have Drake.
And they have hockey teams that can't win.
It's been a rough couple of weeks. They lost. The Canadian National Baseball team lost on Canada Day. The Edmonton Oilers have prolonged the streak of years without a Canadian Stanley Cup since 1993 by going down 3-0, getting all the way back to Game 7 and blowing it there. Yeah, it's rough. I don't think the Canadian national team made it to Copa America.
They did.
Oh, they did, damn it.
They're in the knockout round.
Oh, son of a bitch.
So they beat it? They got farther than us?
Yeah.
Oh, because
you know what they didn't do? Lose to Panama.
That's
Panama!
they took care of business. And,
Panama!
The Canadian soccer team coach, guess where he's from?
America.
Yeah.
Really?
He's Benedict Arnold.
Guess what he was a candidate for?
Oh, the U.S.
job?
The U.S. job before they gave it back to Berhalter.
That's tough.
After the World Cup, they reevaluated Berhalter, and they're like, eh, we're good.
Oh, my God.
Do you know who they play in the next round?
I can find out
Chile?
Pretty quick. They beat Chile. We're at
Le Berge. They play Venezuela.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're Team Venezuela.
You know, let's talk about something American now. F soccer. Soccer's stupid.
Football.
Yeah, let's talk about American football. We are 65 days away from the start of the NFL season. Let's keep that countdown going. Remember, one of the most fearsome defenders in Houston sports history. Stick around.
This morning, I was over at O Athletic at the Heights. 767 North Shepherd is where I was at. And you can check them out, oathletic.com. Look, here's the thing. We're about 4 months into, I would say, to me going to this gym, to O Athletic. We had some goals when we started out. We started out about 220, and we're probably going to get under 200 by next week. That's where I think we're at right now. So we've been working on losing a good amount of weight in a short amount of time. And at this, you know, and the reason why it's not coming off faster is because we've been working on, you know, things like putting on muscle and trying to just thin out that way as well. So it's not just about weight loss. It's about weight gain in a good way as well. So whatever your goals are in 2024, O Athletic is a great place to do it. Check them out, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd. And when you are there in the Heights and at O Athletic, tell them Joe George sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Rookie Elvin Bethea was an offensive tackle until Coach Lim tried him at right defensive end. And it seems the Trenton, New Jersey youngster has found a permanent home.
Six-year veteran Elvin Bethea is the only one in the starting defensive line who wasn't a first-round draft pick. But without a doubt, he is the best. For three consecutive years, Bethea had nabbed all-pro honors. And last season led the Oilers in quarterback sacks for the fourth time in 5 years with a career high of 17.
Elvin Bethea, 65. He had 105 sacks in his career. I don't believe those numbers are official because the NFL did not officially start keeping tabs on sacks until, I want to say it was the late 70s, could be wrong on that. But he had 14 and a half sacks in 1969 and 1976, 16, not 17, in 1973. He played his entire career from 1968 to 1983 for the Houston Oilers.
I love old NFL stuff.
John Fashenda, the voice of God.
So good. The music, the voice.
The autumn wind is a raider.
Yeah, it's so good. I love all that stuff.
The best number 65 in Houston Texans history. This is a name that will perhaps elude some, but Mike Brizell was the right guard. You go left to right. You had Dwayne Brown, Wade Smith, Chris Myers, Mike Brizell, Eric Winston. The Texans' offensive line in 2011 was the best offensive line that they've ever had. Brizell was the right guard. He left after that season. Greg Mainz as well, 2015 to 2020, another Houston Texan that wore 65. 65, not the most fun number, but shout out to Elvin Bethea, who's still kicking. Always be podcasting. That is the motto of the Gallon and George radio show. And we've got inner Dallas Cowboys beef. Malik Hooker is a Cowboys safety, and he's getting a little bit annoyed with all of Micah Parsons' podcasting.
Problem with him, my thing would be, though, for Micah, my advice would be for Micah would be, you know, just make sure we're all right, you know, and being where your feet are. Because if we're at work and, you know, the run game's terrible, but you're doing a podcast every week and, you know, the run game is terrible, then, you know, what are you really caring about? Are you caring about the crowd that, you know, is watching your podcast? Are you caring about the success of our team in the Super Bowl that we're trying to reach? See what I'm saying? So.
Interesting.
So, in a since-deleted tweet, Micah Parsons responded. Got to say, based off of all the interactions between C.J. Stroud and Micah Parsons, while I like Micah Parsons, a football player, I think that he would, I don't know, turn into a Grant Williams-esque figure for me eventually, which is to say, become annoying.
Yeah.
Here's what he said. Just wish you said this to me, but instead on some podcast. Why aren't we talking about everyone's preparations and focus leading up to the game week? I mean, I can point out a lot of other things, but I'm just not. And then he deleted that tweet.
This was always inevitable that when players started podcasting that it was going to cause issues.
Especially a Cowboy player.
Yeah.
Because Cowboy players are going to get listened to on a level that other people in the NFL are not.
At the same time, it's just like an hour long. It's not stopping Micah Parsons from making sure he's ready for stopping the run.
I agree with that, but if it creates unnecessary drama with your teammates, and if one of your teammates is publicly saying, yo, this is getting a little bit annoying, wouldn't you start wondering who else is saying that?
You have to. You have to wonder if the organization, other players, all feel the same way. And this kind of goes back to the CJ stuff that we've talked about, where as long as you're winning, it doesn't really matter what you do. If Micah Parsons and the Cowboys won the Super Bowl last year, Malik Hooker never says this. But because they fail time and time again to have success and do what they expect themselves to do, then it becomes a topic of conversation. I always thought it was going to be, Paul, more like players were going to cancel themselves because they were going to get too comfortable. Just like, hey, like they were going to like do a podcast like they were on a locker room, which we'd all appreciate, but they were going to say things that we're only allowed in a locker room that you don't want the public to
see. Like Shannon Sharp talking about what he would do with Megan Thee Stallion. Like
yeah.
Chad Johnson.
Yep.
I think that's why it helps that podcasts get recorded and then edited. I think that I would love to know the...
You're right.
The uncut, just whoever podcast.
These podcasts have editors. And shout out to those editors, because those editors are not nearly paid enough.
And if you think about, like, Micah Parsons' podcast is, like, through Bleacher Report and Warner Media. So it's like, he's not just setting up a microphone in his house and posting it by himself. There's a corporate, there's someone in a suit who has to look at these numbers and be like, ooh.
Must be nice.
Yeah, there's, like, an actual chain of command. It's not as just free-flowing of a conversation as we think.
More Cowboys news as we go around the NFL. There's fake Cowboys news afoot. We talked about how C.D. Lamb might hold out of training camp. A tweet by somebody named Pretty Ricky, who calls himself like the people's beat reporter. Beat reporters hate me. That like reads his profile on Twitter. This. He said, CeeDee Lamb will request to be traded if the Cowboys do not offer him a new contract worth at least $32 million a year. He wants to be at least the second highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. And this just blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because of the blue check mark? I don't know.
Is it because people believe it? Because it sounds logical? Because it does. While it might not be a real report, if you told me that CeeDee Lamb wants to be the second highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, because he's actually self-aware enough to say, I shouldn't be paid more than Justin Jefferson. And then if he doesn't get that, he's going to demand a trade. That doesn't sound surprising.
This seems on brand for Cowboy drama as well.
Yeah. Is it more on, like, is it more likely he demands a trade or more likely he's willing to not be the highest paid wide receiver? Because I would think he would just want the next contract.
Yeah, I would want to be the highest paid.
Yeah, not often do players have the self-awareness to go, yeah, I'll be number two.
Unless they saw the Justin Jefferson contract and they said, well, not worth that.
Yeah, but even then, like, $1 who says that? Who says that in the NFL?
Yeah.
Especially, that almost seems like the most unrealistic part of this.
Especially Justin Herbert, egomaniac position.
Yeah, Justin Herbert, when he got his deal, he wasn't like, well, I don't know, guys. I haven't won a playoff game.
He should, though.
Maybe.
Trevor Lawrence should have, too.
But
Trevor
Lawrence. Guess what they did? Not that.
Take
not
the bet.
Guys.
They didn't do it.
Hey, you know who would have done that?
CJ Stroud.
Well, maybe something. He will.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady did it multiple times.
That's true. That's true.
The greatest teammate in the history of the world, some say. 7 Super Bowls. What's up? Hey, let's continue to go around the NFL. We're not going to get any of the juicy details of the John Gruden lawsuit against the league. His forced resignation in 2021 for leaked emails that he sent to Bruce Allen that were problematic in nature. On Monday, a court rejected his request for reconsideration of the ruling that ordered his claims against the NFL and commissioner go to arbitration. Arbitration that would be run by the NFL. This sucks for everybody. We all want the gossip. We all want the tea of what all these suits are saying about each other. We've gotten a little bit of it from the NFL's lawsuit that they're facing for NFL Sunday Ticket and the settlement that created. I mean, we saw Jerry Jones take a shot at Bengals owner Mike Brown. But we're not going to get any details out of this. It seems like the NFL is going to be able to sit on it and snuff out all the fun for us.
Yeah, I'm not surprised just because the Pandora's box that this opens. I mean, Gruden's only, this is only, we're only aware of Gruden because they're investigating Dan Snyder.
Yep.
So he ratted out John Gruden.
Yeah,
everyone
does.
But like, what else does Gruden know? At some point, don't you just leak it?
Well, you could get sued.
Yeah, and he is kind of still, I don't know if he's trying to be a head coach again, but he was with the Saints last offseason.
And
consulting.
For Gruden, I mean, Gruden's trying to get paid. We want the details. And we hope that the discovery comes because of Gruden's effort to get paid. So Gruden is going to, I would imagine, keep it as close to the vest as he possibly can. And honestly, once the arbitration steps in, I imagine that they are going to give Gruden a hefty sum of money to make this all go away.
Yeah, and they do. I mean, they pay Kaepernick. Like, we just don't know how much they pay these guys.
I think it's way more likely that Gruden just wants the settlement money than wants to actually go down in a blaze of glory with try to tear down the NFL. All of a sudden people stop watching the NFL because
a 10-year, $100 million contract from the Raiders. Yeah, I mean, I'd want that.
Just give me a piece of that, and then I'll go like somewhat quietly, and then show up at random training camps and be in Hooters commercials or whatever he's going to do.
Corona commercials.
Corona, whatever. Yeah.
But he was Hooters
Probably not going to be in those.
You don't think so?
Probably not nationally.
Yeah, not sure he's a commercial, much of a commercial.
He's going to go to Papa John's?
Maybe like the Tampa local market will still have him?
No, they hate him there.
Okay, I don't know.
He's not well-liked in pretty much anywhere that he works.
Huh.
Yeah, I
can't imagine why.
He
after reading those emails.
Yeah. He probably could have got rehired in Vegas if they really wanted to, and they would have been okay with it, but
I don't think so.
I think that they fired him because of this, but it's not like he would still be coaching there if these didn't come out, you know. Yeah. I think
he sucked, by the way. Like everyone forgot. He was bad. They were so bad in the second half of the season, and they always have been bad in the second half of the season when Gruden's been at the helm. He had the year with the Raiders where they lost in the Tuck Rule game. He had the Super Bowl year the very next season after he got traded to the Buccaneers. And after that,
yeah, Tony Dungy's roster.
Pretty much, right.
Yeah.
After that, nothing.
Well, what happened the year he got fired? Rich Bisaccia came in.
It was great.
And took them to the playoffs.
Bisaccia deserved the job.
He should have got the job. That was a dumb decision. That's how you know that's a terrible organization.
But now they are seemingly doing the opposite of what they did last time and keeping the interim head coach around.
Yeah, they learned from their mistake there. It's just, it might be the wrong interim coach. Like,
the interim coach who's in bankruptcy.
Right? Yeah,
yeah, it's, like, it's because the other interim coach was so good and we let him walk out. We're not making that mistake. So we're hiring a different interim coach and hoping he... It's like, no, the rule isn't all interim coaches are good. Actually, the rule's normally the opposite. It's that guy. You should have brought back Bisaccia.
You should have just gone back to him.
Yeah.
No offense to Antonio Pierce, but...
I mean, he is coaching for free this year, so...
Not officially yet.
It is Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That is our countdown to the start of the NFL season. We are 65. Shout out to Elvin Bethea. Days away from the start of the season. Coming up next, Texas is officially a part of the SEC, and people are really talking about something that Quinn Ewers said. Was this really trash talk to the rest of the SEC? You decide. It's Gallon and George. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. This is Gallon and George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
So, Texas officially is a part of the SEC. Did you see the celebration that mm-hmm. they had?
I did. Good turnout.
Sean Mapes was there. Big fan of Pitbull. And, yeah, they pulled out the big axe. Pitbull had a concert by the clock tower to celebrate Texas in the SEC. It's about to go down.
How was it, Sean? Did you have a good time?
I was at LaBerge Lake Charles. Actually, no, I was driving home from LaBerge Lake Charles.
And you didn't stop in Austin?
No, I didn't stop, 2.5 hours farther west
yeah.
and then drive back.
Why not?
Because I'm going to be off most of 2 weeks from now, and I didn't want to take off Monday to,
good
to
call.
Do that.
It went down. They were yelling timber.
It did go down. And then
you better move, you better dance.
And then last night, Oklahoma threw their party to join the SEC.
Not as good of attendance.
No. They made the mistake of holding it in a stadium, it looks like, where it's very easy to tell how empty the stadium was.
Also, how many people are just hanging out in Norman?
It's not that far from Oklahoma City.
How many of those are OU people? There's probably always people in Austin. And a lot of them probably just went because there was a party.
Yes.
Pitbull.
Boots on the ground, from what I heard. A lot of people there for the Pitbull concert.
Yeah. But I'm glad that Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC now, because no disrespect to the Big 12, go Cougs, who are expected right now by the media to finish second to last in the Big 12 this year. I kind of like what the new SEC looks like, and Texas being part of that is exciting. It's just going to be – it's good we're going to get A&M Texas back. There's a lot of good teams in one conference. I like this move. Of all the weird changes that have happened, this is the one that's not weird to me.
Yeah. I mean, is it the Southeast? Not really, but whatever. I like it. Ultimately, we're going to have two huge conferences. One's going to be on – ESPN, one's going to be on Fox.
Totally agree.
It's a matter of time. The other fun part about Texas now being in the SEC is that it's in a conference where, no offense to all the other schools that are in the Big 12, but beef gets a little more heated when it's directed at schools like Alabama or Auburn than trash talk against Baylor. Or TCU. Just bigger schools, bigger programs. I'm curious what everybody thinks about this quote from Quinn Ewers at the Manning passing camp. Pay no heed to the annoying person talking in the background. Listen to the question asked by a fearless reporter.
You're going to be everybody's big game. Just because you're Texas.
Right.
You proved it. Tell me about that. Are you used to that Big 12? But this is a different level, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely a different level. I've always wanted to play in the SEC, so I know we're all excited to be a part of a conference like that. Like you said, we're everybody's biggest game, but and we do understand that.
Okay.
So he got led into this question.
Very much so.
Not even like led it. Like the question was, you're the biggest game on everyone's schedule exactly. in the SEC. What are your thoughts?
And he got led into this question, and people are acting like what Quinn Ewers said there is, we are the biggest team on every team's SEC schedule.
Like, what's he supposed to say? No? We don't matter?
No, he shouldn't say that. You're right, yes. But there's also a little bit of, like, I would get it if this was coming off a season where they went 7-5 and were and Charlie Strong or actually Charlie Strong never won seven games. If Tom Herman was still coaching the team, it's like, well, they did just make the playoff and beat the other playoff team from the SEC in the regular season at their place. So this isn't like some bum team is coming into the conference being like, yeah, let's show you how you play football. It's like, no, they're going to be like a top five preseason team. Probably the second SEC team behind Georgia. Like it's they're going to be maybe not the biggest game on everyone's schedule because, yes, maybe Florida hates Tennessee more than they hate Texas. But there's a chance they're going to be the best team on a lot of these team schedules.
Well, and there is this whole, like, the whole SEC pride does exist. And the idea that you're going to have two newcomers in Texas and Oklahoma entering this conference, there is going to be a lot of, let's show these guys they don't belong in our conference.
Yeah.
Every coach is going to give that speech before they play Texas or Oklahoma.
Yep.
Whether it's like it's Vanderbilt or Alabama. Let's try to show them they don't belong in the SEC.
Savages, like, barely even human coming from another conference.
The reporter is right. I don't like when reporters lead people into questions like that because Quinn's, I don't really know what he's supposed to do there.
Because, yeah, the only way he doesn't give a quote where we then can go, Quinn Ewers says that they're the biggest game on everyone's schedule is for him to go, no, probably not.
Like, we're not Alabama.
Vanderbilt and Mississippi State have some pretty big rivalries. I don't know if you've heard.
Texas's football schedule this year is gnarly. Week 2 versus Michigan. Obviously, they'll play Oklahoma. Then they play Georgia. They get Florida this year. Arkansas, A&M. It's tough.
Florida and Arkansas.
Yeah, Florida.
You don't think Florida's going to be any good this year?
No, Joe. It's never coming back.
It's never coming back?
No, they're to get a real, like, ass, like Urban Meyer to run the show again to bring all the prisoners back.
Bring them back.
Also, if you look at Florida's schedule, like, the Texas game is in the middle of, like, just an absolute gauntlet for Florida.
And the Michigan game's probably not that important either anymore, honestly, for Texas.
I mean, it's going to be against the defending national champion again and at their place, but
no quarterback, no coach. The vibes are different. If Harbaugh was still there, that game means a lot more.
And this is also where the 12-team playoff also kind of takes a little bit of the juice out of it, to where it's like, well, they can lose that and still win their conference and get a bye in the playoff. So there's not even the, oh my God, if they lose that game, then they have to go undefeated in the SEC to make the playoff. It's like, no, you can still lose that game and have all your goals ahead of you.
Yeah, because I'm excited for the 12-team playoff. I am curious what the – obviously, the committee is always usually terrible at telling us what they're thinking. They just lie to us when they go on ESPN and tell us their reasoning for things. But if you have a two-loss Texas team whose losses are versus Michigan and Georgia, but they've done pretty well in the SEC, like how – obviously, to see what everyone else around them is doing, but like how high can they go?
Yeah.
In the new format, can they host a college football playoff game? Do they have to be a road team? One of the things I'm interested about too is Feinbaum was there in Austin for this, and he said he thinks Arch Manning will be the starting quarterback. He guaranteed it by the end of the season, which I find interesting. Like, Quinn Ewers is pretty good last year. He took him to the college football playoff. He was a play away from going to the national championship game. And it's a guarantee that Arch Manning's going to be the quarterback by the end of the season. That would surprise me.
It would, like, on play, it would surprise me. Yeah. Quinn Ewers has missed, what, two or three games every year?
That's
true. The only 2 years that he's been a starter. So there's a little bit of, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Arch Manning starts a game. I don't know if he would be the starter, but he might start some games. Malik Murphy wasn't the starter. He started two games last year.
Yes,
so there is... a little bit of that, a little bit of Paul Feinbaum. I actually appreciate it because that's how I know that Texas is officially in the SEC. We have Paul Feinbaum just stirring the pot for no reason about your team. I'm like, hell yeah, dude. Let's do this.
Does he believe anything he says? I'm not really familiar with Paul Feinbaum.
I'm sure deep down, like, there is a human man with like actual thoughts and emotions. But I think
it does feel like he just allows.
He plays a character.
Well, I don't even know if he plays a character. From what I understand, that show is legitimately he's just moderating a forum and throwing gasoline on the fire to get
A lot of that.
A bunch of people riled up.
Yeah.
Which, hey, that's awesome. I love it.
But that's part
it's
of
interactive.
The, like, he'll throw gasoline whichever direction. Like, that's part of the character, is that it's not like, well, I think this. It's like, well, I'll think this, but so if a caller calls in and is throwing shots at Alabama, he'll defend Alabama, but then also defend it in a way to where he's kind of like pushing the buttons of Alabama fans and also Auburn fans. Like, he'll just answer things and react to things in the most, like, annoying way to every fan base. And so every fan base hates him, but they all call into a show.
Yeah, I think the only time he's disingenuous is sometimes when he talks about other conferences. He really wears, like, the SEC pride when he does a show, because that's who pays him.
It makes logical sense. Yeah, SEC Network.
Yeah, he works for the SEC Network, and he's never going to say the Big Ten's better. But that's the only time I ever have heard stuff from him where I'm like, I don't think you really believe that, dude.
No, I think some of the, like, the SEC stuff that he gets into, like, he'll just try to push buttons of, I mean, he just tries to get callers and get people to listen. That's really the most of what he's doing.
Up next is what Hunter Brown's doing gonna last. And on top of that, remember that little thing called Bad Take Boulevard? I'm sure it gives Joe George nightmares from time to time. We're going to walk on it, thanks to the show after us. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. First, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. All right, well, maybe you don't want to bet on the soccer today, right? Unless there's something going on in the Euro world. But hey, how about you bet on your beloved Houston baseball team that's won 10 of 11 to keep up this hot streak? Spencer Arrighetti's on the hill. Remember what he did last time? It was against the Colorado Rockies. I mean, they do. They do really suck. But he had 10 strikeouts, huh? 7 innings. Best career start. Can Spencer Arrighetti do it again? Well, guess what? His Astros are 1.5 run dogs against Jose Berrios, 7-6, a sub-4 ERA, and the Toronto Blue Jays. The over-under for that game's 8.5. Keep on riding them, Astros, especially after they beat the Canadians on Canada Day. MyBookie.ag is a place you can bet on more than just baseball. You can bet on poker, blackjack. You can even play, you know, a little roulette. You got live dealers there as well. It's MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. You're going to get an awesome deposit bonus that matches up to your first $1,000. Yeah, $1,000, which you can play with right away. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.